Welcome to the Destined for Success podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and this podcast used to be called New Manager Media, Manage Right from the Start. Many of the concepts are the same, but there's a little shift. There's a shift because I know we are all destined for success, and I want to help you find the fastest, smoothest way to reach your highest best as quickly as possible. Join me in today's episode where you're going to come up with new ways to build your skills and influence others to make the impact you desire to make. I look forward to connecting with you soon. Welcome to Destined for Success. I'm your host, Jennifer Takagi, and today I want to talk about my journey traveling to Spain. Travel is a big deal, and being able to handle going through airports and security, like, it's a lot, and not everybody handles it very well. I have traveled a lot. I took my first airplane ride when I was probably 13, and my uncle was a pilot and had a small plane and flew me and my mom from Richardson, Texas to Ohio to see friends. And then back. It was super cool. So imagine how exciting it was to get on like a jet airplane and go someplace in a big airplane instead of a little airplane. So I've traveled a lot. I don't know how many miles I've logged over the years, but I'm going to say quite a few. Traveled a lot for personal and also for business. I had my first knee replacement, which was my third knee surgery, but my first replacement, in March of 2024. I skated through that recovery. Like, I sailed through it. People were shocked, stunned, and amazed at how well I did. I stayed in physical therapy as long as I possibly could after surgery because I think it matters. I think it matters a lot. I also did over 3 months of physical therapy before surgery because you need to build all the muscles around the area you're going to fix. So I did it all. I did it all right. It was super fast, super easy. 13 months later, in April of 2025, I had my other leg done. It's very funny how many people ask me if I had the same knee replaced twice a year apart. And you know, this is just one of those things that you just assume people know. You typically don't have the same one done a year apart, unless, of course, you're highly allergic to metal and they don't test you for that. Thank you again, Dr. German, for highly recommending I have that test because I'm highly allergic to nickel. And you usually just sail right through it. You know, you have it done and that's that. So I have my second surgery. I'm expecting to sail through it like I did before. However, I did things a little bit differently this next time. I kind of decided a little bit last minute when I was going to do the surgery. So I only went to 5 sessions of physical therapy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, not 3.5 months of physical therapy. The other thing is I went on a cruise. It was a business cruise. Yes, that is a thing. I went on a business cruise. It was amazing. And unfortunately, I had my last drink on Saturday night late. I got on a plane Sunday and flew home and had surgery Wednesday. I bled like a stuck pig. Apparently, 3 days without alcohol is not sufficient to take the blood thinning properties out of your system. It's either that or the Celebrex anti-inflammatory that I take, but they said it was okay to take that. So who knows? Anyway, a lot of bleeding causes a lot of swelling. A lot of swelling greatly impacts your ability to move, recover, and do the things you need to do. So my recovery has been much slower. I screamed and yelled and cussed at the surgeon a lot and everybody in his office. And they keep saying, each surgery is different. Each recovery is different. It's just different. And my response to that is, that's a bunch of crap. It shouldn't have been different. It should have been just as easy. In July, towards the end of July, so now I had surgery that middle of April. So all of May, all of June, now we're July. We're 3 solid months after surgery. Last time I was, you know, dancing a tango. Not really. This time I'm like still gimpy. And a crown fell off one of my molars that I'd had for many, many years. I had a crown for years, and then I had a root canal on that tooth. And then, you know, that's it. It's lasted me many, many years. It's all fine, like 20 years, something ridiculous. And it falls off. So I'm getting ready to get on a plane. I save the crown. The next morning, I call the dentist, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'll get right in immediately. And I did. And he said, I'm so sorry, I can't glue this back on because it broke part of your tooth. Long story shorter. The crown was metal, and the x-ray won't go through metal. So you could not tell that the crown was no longer placed properly and the tooth had decay underneath. So this is like, I don't know, the 20th of July. Blah, blah, blah. Fast forward. The tooth breaks off at the roots, what was left of it, or at the gum line. And I had to have surgery to extract the tooth, a bone graft, and then an implant put in. I'm still waiting to have the final crown done. Apparently, you have to let it heal for a long time. So I have that removed. That decaying tooth that I didn't know was decaying. I had a root canal, didn't hurt. It was all good for me until it wasn't. And about 3 weeks later, it dawns on me. My knee is healing quickly. My recovery is just exponentially faster. I'm thrilled. And I like to make connections. Like, that's kind of one of the things I'm pretty good at, is connecting the dots. So my dot connecting is that my body could not heal two major things at one time. It could not heal a tooth that had a problem that nobody knew about, and this recovery from surgery. Like, it just can't do all of that at once. My knee is so much better. I can do so much more. I feel like I'm, you know, like I was last time, 5 weeks out of surgery instead of 6 months. Like, it's just been amazing. I'm so happy. So I travel to Spain and I get here and it's a lot. I fly from Oklahoma City to Atlanta, O'Hare in Atlanta, and then a long, 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 long flight to Amsterdam. A couple hour layover in Amsterdam, and then fly down to Malaga. And thank God we're staying in a city, Torre Melenos, which is literally 10 minutes from the Malaga airport. We get to the apartment. It's beautiful. It's stunning. It's on the Mediterranean. And my ankles are swollen up like softballs, if not cantaloupes. Like, they're huge. And I'm like, what on earth? I was going to wear compression socks on the plane. I laid them out, but I don't know what happened when I got ready to go to the airport and got dressed, but I couldn't find them. And I thought, oh, I must have accidentally packed them. I unpacked all my bags. Those socks aren't here. They're at home somewhere. I don't know what happened to them. And I thought it would help. Like, compression socks might help. So we get here Wednesday afternoon, and Thursday I'm still swollen and I'm gimping along. And Friday, a girlfriend of mine had come with me and my other friend. So there are 3 of us girls, and they've like gone out exploring the city. And I'm like, yeah, I can't walk across the apartment. Like, I can't go. So we get out and about and we walk down the beach a little ways. For them, it's just like a blink and you're there. For me, every step is like, what the hell am I doing? This is just terrible. And my ankles are swelling more and more and more. So this has been from Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and now it's Monday. I've laid on the bed with my feet up. I've drank lots of water. I've tried walking. I've done all the things that you would normally do. And they're still really super swollen. And I work with a man named Shiraz, and his business, one of the big things that he does is identify the story you have going on and rewrite it. Rewrite it from something negative, something tragic, something horrible, into something positive. Like, what can we glean from this? What can we learn from this? It's a little bit similar to my friend Kimberly Crow's book, Shift Your Narrative, and his is Rewrite Reality, I think is what it's called. I'll find their links and drop them in the show notes. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll put them in there because they're both amazing books and amazing people. I love them both very much. And I have a call with Shiraz, fortunately, on the books for that Monday. And we get on the call and it's usually business. We're usually talking about business things. What do I need to do to grow my business, increase my following, you know, do all the businessy things. I love the work that I do, but I want more, right? I want more. I want more clients. I want to work with people. I want to help people. You know, that's what I want to do. Those are the things we usually talk about. So we get on the call and he's like, hey, how are you? And I said, I'm great. I'm in Spain. It's beautiful. Very happy here. Love it. Nice apartment. I said, but my ankles are so swollen. I just can't get around. Like, this is problematic. So he starts asking me questions because he's trying to get to like, what is the root cause of why I'm so swollen? And it's only my ankles. It's no place else. So he's like, well, do you want to do the work you wanted to do while you're in Spain? Yes. I have podcasts to do. I've got emails to do. I've got things to do. Like, yes. And here I don't have the same distractions that I have at home. I have a lot of distractions, don't get me wrong, but they're not the same. So it's a whole different space. And so we spend about 25 minutes going through all the different possible scenarios. We get to the end and he's ready to say, is that all? But he doesn't quite get there. And I said, wait, is this going to like take care of the swelling of my ankles? And he's very intuitive. And he said, do you feel safe where you are? And I went, oh my gosh, I feel so safe. We've got to have a little fob, electronic fob, to open the gate to get into the actual grounds where the apartment building is. And then we've got to do another one to get inside the lobby. And then we take the elevator up and we've got multiple locks on the door. I feel very safe. The area is very safe. I feel safe walking up and down the streets, even at night. Yeah, I feel safe. And he said, I'm just getting this image of a man trying to harm you. Is there a man around there that could try to harm you? And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I feel perfectly safe here. And he goes, gosh, I see a car coming at you. Do the cars go really fast? And I went, no. As a matter of fact, you walk up to the crosswalk and it, I don't know how many stripes there are. I'm going to have to count. There are like 5 stripes that are all wide. So there's a wide crosswalk area where you can cross the streets. And I said, no. I said, as a matter of fact, as soon as you walk up to the crosswalk, the cars start stopping. Like, they don't even get to the crosswalk. I feel perfectly safe. And he goes, God, that's so weird. I just see a man physically harming you in a car. So some of you are probably going, oh my God, Jennifer, this is like a psychic premonition. Somebody's out to get you. No, that's not it at all. But guess what it is? Can you guess? It had all already happened. It had all already happened. We land in Amsterdam, and I had heard that a lot of times they park out on the tarmac and you have to walk down the steps with your carry-on bag and then get on a little shuttle bus to get to the main terminal. And I didn't want to do that, right? I'm still not 100% steady on my feet. And I've got my carry-on bag with my laptop and other stuff in it, you know, the essentials you have to carry on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to do that. So the whole way, it was 20-minute taxi to the terminal. And I kept saying, keep going, please keep going. Let's not stop until we get to the terminal. Let's go. Keep going. And it would stop almost completely. And I'd be like, no, keep going. Well, lo and behold, we went all the way to the terminal. I was so happy I could just walk off that plane. So my friend Kimberly and I stop and got a Diet Coke. And then we had to continue our journey to meet my friend at her gate. But I back up a little bit. Walking to the restaurant, we backtracked on where we wanted to go to have a Diet Coke. I'm walking along, I'm pulling my roller bag, and it's a small roller bag, it's a laptop kind of bag on wheels. And this man and woman literally come out of nowhere and just crash into me, knock my bag completely out of my hand, keep going. The man turns around and looks at me like I've done something because it startled me. I was like, oh, because I'm not stable on my feet. Did I say that like 12 times already? Do you get the picture? And then his wife has the nerve around and give me an ugly look. And I looked at Kimberly and I said, what the hell? Like, am I invisible? Did they literally, honest to God, not see me and just like banged into me? So we get my bag, we go have our Diet Coke, have a nice visit. And now we're headed to the gate, and we've got to go through a whole passport security area to get to the gate to meet my other friend who's already over there. Kimberly says, please let me carry your bag. Let me wheel your bag so you can just focus in this busy airport of being stable on your feet. You know, she doesn't want me to go down, people. I'm like, yes, I will accept that. I'm trying to say yes when people want to help. So she takes my roller bag and we start walking, and the corridor comes down and makes a hard curve. It's like a hard curve to the left. It's not a sharp left turn, it's a big curve. A man driving a motorized vehicle is pulling either four or five big trash containers. And as he comes around the corner too fast, it like does a whiplash, like whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And I go, oh, and I start backing up. Kimberly starts yelling, whoa, whoa, whoa. He literally came inches from knocking me over with the last trash bin in the chain. And Kimberly jumps back just as he hits my suitcase that she's dragging and knocks it completely over. And he keeps going. And a policeman starts yelling, or security guard. He starts screaming at the guy in whatever language the man would understand, because English and whoa, whoa, whoa were not comprehended nor cared about. And he finally stops and he turned back, and that jackass started smiling at me. I wanted to go over and like pinch his head off. I was so mad. I couldn't believe it. It was like, holy crapoli, I cannot believe that just happened. Kimberly gets my bag. Off we go, and we make it without incident to the gate and have a snack with my friend Jan. And we get on the plane and we make it to Malaga. And we make it to the apartment, and I think that's it. Like, okay, like that's a good story to tell, that I don't ever want to go to Amsterdam, and I surely don't want to go through that airport again. Like, that's a scary, dangerous place. It's really not. I'm sure it's not. It was just a moment for me. Like, I had two really big moments there. So, as I'm sharing all this with Shiraz, he said, if your ankles are swollen and you're walking with a hobble, people pay attention and look out for you. Are you ready to step out of that story? Are you ready to let go of the terror and the trauma? Because I can tell that this was very traumatic and scary for you at the time. Are you ready to step out of that story? And I was like, yes, let's step out of that story. So I finished my call with him, and I was like, that is so interesting that, number one, he's a very intuitive person, but that we could put all those pieces together so easily, so easily. So I sat down and started doing my emotion code work, and I asked the question, do I have any trapped emotions from my time in the Amsterdam airport that would be keeping me from fully healing and my swelling and my ankles going down and being good to go? And the answer was yes. And that emotion was bum, bum, bum. It was terror. I literally had the trapped emotion of terror from that event. Those two events, actually. Which, of course, having no sleep and probably dehydrated, blah, blah, blah. All the other things that come with travel. I woke up the next morning, because that was an afternoon call that I had. I woke up the next morning and I have no swelling whatsoever. It's gone. I did go on Wednesday of that week to Africa. We went to Morocco and the city of Tangier, and it ended up being about a 17-hour day, crammed in a bus, knees bent, all tied up, no movement for like 4 hours. And then an immense amount of walking, a lot of uphill, a lot of downhill on uneven streets where you're walking at an angle, kind of sideways-ish. And again, I'm not feeling super stable just yet, so I was taking extra caution. And that caused a lot of swelling. And by the time we got home, I was like, I'm dead. Like, this is terrible. I'm miserable. But you know what? I woke up the next morning with no swelling whatsoever. The swelling comes from healing. The swelling comes from still recovering from this knee replacement. It's so much better than it was. But we can take journeys and we can tell stories and we can hold on to stories, whether they really are for our best and highest good or not. And it's up to us to choose to let it go. So I have let go of the story that Amsterdam is bad. I even discussed that with Shiraz, because we know people who tell the same story over and over again, and they attract more of that trauma drama to themselves. And I said, I have to tell this story because it's such a great story, but can I do it without bringing more of it to myself? And he said, absolutely. You just have to be detached from it. You can tell the story. You can tell the story with emotion and emphasis. But it doesn't have to embody you. It doesn't have to be true for you. So if you have stories going on that are driving the bus, have you heard that old story? You got a 5-year-old, 8-year-old kid that was traumatized. And that's true. I'm not minimizing it. But sometimes we don't grow past that. And we still let that 5-year-old, 8-year-old drive the bus and make all our decisions for us. And it doesn't have to be that way. We can let it go. We can let it go and we can move forward. I let go of my story about Amsterdam, and I might even go back to Amsterdam, but I will say my flight home is not through Amsterdam. But we get to choose our journey and our path. But sometimes we need a coach, sometimes we need a guide to help us unwrap all the packaging around it. I don't know that I would have gotten there by myself because I thought it was over. But now I'm really glad it truly is over. I'm Jennifer Takagi with Destined for Success, and I look forward to connecting with you soon. Thank you for taking your time to spend with me on this latest podcast of Destined for Success. Please take a moment to leave a review, share it with a friend, and subscribe, and get the newest episodes every Monday morning. I'm Jennifer Takagi, and I look forward to connecting with you soon.